SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back in Game Time Decisions. Another hour here on the Sports Grid Network as we get ready for the pucks to drop. We've got tip-off here in just a couple of minutes in the NBA. We do have an NIT game in college basketball, but a lot of the focus will be on the Sweet 16 getting ready to take off tomorrow. I'm Joe Ranieri here on the Sports Grid Network. Appreciate you hanging out with us here. And coming up in just about 8 or 9 minutes, our good friend Brady will be in there as I've got, I can't wait for Brady Cannon to tell me who he's going to pick this week for the Houston Hawks. This, if it's anywhere near Xander Schauffele, we're going to have to cut him off. I refuse to allow him. Friends don't allow other friends to bet Xander Schauffele anymore. So if Brady Cannon comes on here and says, that's who I'm going with, we are going to have an intervention here on the show, I promise you. But the Shell Houston Open getting ready to get underway. I am sure he is going to have a few other value picks that we can look at here as the PGA Tour rolls on their season. And, of course, we're getting ready for the Masters. That will be here before we know it. And I am looking very forward to that. And we've got a bunch to talk about also when it comes to Major League Baseball. Let's not forget that season starts tomorrow. It's kind of hard for me to believe that Major League Baseball will begin its 162-game trek tomorrow. A lot of rainouts already. If you haven't heard, the Mets, the Phillies, the Brewers, all having to push back their opening days here because of weather-related issues, namely rain and the fact that it's probably snowing in a place or two still around the country here as we welcome in our radio audience. It is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. We appreciate you hanging out with us here tonight as we're getting ready for Major League Baseball to kick off. How bad are the Angels going to be? They still have Mike Trout, although something tells me he'll be hurt three games into the season, never to be heard from again. How bad are the Red Sox going to be? How about the Yankees? With absolutely no pitching, are they going to compete at all? And let us not forget, Ohtani, I'm wondering who he has at the top of his college basketball bracket. No, wait a minute. I mean, who isn't? No, not his interpreter either. Will that story ever go away? That is a big question mark. But quite honestly, I am of the mindset that this will go away rather quickly. Baseball will be played. Dodgers will dominate. And at this point, even at plus 185, 155 that we've got there, at this point in the season, there's really no reason to look anyplace else outside of those top two or three teams. Even if you're looking, I'm wondering how good the Dodgers are going to be or how good the Braves are going to be. They're the best teams in baseball as currently constructed on paper. But that doesn't mean we're not going to get – how many of you this time of year, rewind the clock, had the Texas Rangers as your champs there or at the top of that list? Nobody did. You go a couple of years back prior, the Marlins have done this. The Royals have done this. We have seen teams, small market teams, that nobody would give any consideration to go up against teams that basically tried to buy themselves a championship. And baseball is so unique that, yes, if you're looking for Cinderellas, I would not be looking at the Sweet 16. I'd be looking at Major League Baseball because it seems to be the one spot. How many of you had Arizona last year? Nobody, right? It was always the Dodgers. So that's what makes the trek of 162-game season so fascinating in Major League Baseball. It is, from a handicapping perspective, literally the biggest, hardest grind of all sports. 162 games, 30 teams, got to know bullpens, got to know starting pitchers, got to know injury. Baseball, if you are looking long-term to be profitable in, from a handicapping perspective, it is not something you can do every 3 weeks. And again, if you're just looking at it from the perspective, you know what I mean? I want to watch the Yankee game. I'll put a few bucks. By all means, go for it. But anybody that thinks they are just going to jump in handicapping Major League Baseball, be profitable, and do it once every 11 days, doesn't work like that. It is truly the ultimate grind, one which I love each and every year because the dog days of summer, not a lot going on, but you know what is? Major League Baseball there. And I also think the markets are actually some of the more profitable in there. Some numbers sometimes not where they should be. And that is how you make money, betting on sports long term. So looking forward to that starting tomorrow. And of course, the Sweet 16 tomorrow night. And I'll give you three guesses as to who the biggest favorite on the board is. Do you want to take a guess? All right, I'll just tell you. It's UConn. That is correct. UConn is still going to be the one team that everybody is going to need to beat. There's an awful lot of folks that believe UConn is going to be in trouble playing San Diego State. I am not of that mindset as that number is now starting to creep up. I'm beginning to see 11s popping up in the marketplace. It was down to about 10, 10 and a half. Now it's creeping up to 11. And listen, we saw this game a year ago. It was the national championship. And only thing is that San Diego State team was better than this San Diego State team. And oh, yeah, that Connecticut team that beat the living snot out of them last year for the championship. Yeah, that wasn't as good a team as the one that they have right now. So I would not put a whole lot of eggs in that basket, hoping that San Diego State exacts some revenge on UConn, because at this point in the game, there are no more Cinderella teams. If you are a 11-point favorite on the Sweet 16, you are an 11-point favorite for a reason. The next highest one on the board is going to be that Clemson-Arizona game, and I'm seeing seven and a half there right now with Arizona laying it as a big favorite. And of course, you can see the total there. Nobody had Clemson going this far. Clemson's only a six seed. They certainly aren't what you would consider some sort of Cinderella by any stretch. Nobody's given them any credit. They did have a couple of games that suited them well getting to the Sweet 16, but you still got to win them. And we have seen Arizona time and time again this year lose to teams they had no business losing to. Could this be one of those times here? Quite a few people looking at Clemson as being the one underdog winner of the weekend, or at least of the next couple of days here in the Sweet 16. We'll have to wait and see. And we've got a ton more on the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four. Is there any value in any of the future markets with these teams? What if you're holding a ticket? Should you hedge? We got a lot to go over, including the Shell Houston Open. We'll do that with our friend Brady Cannon. We'll do it next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Plenty going on here. NBA action, college hoops, Major League Baseball starts tomorrow. But let's not forget the PGA Tour is in full effect here. Full swing mode here as we're just a couple of weeks away from the Masters, the first major of the year. And we welcome in our good friend, Brady Cannon, here to talk about the Houston Open. And no doubt, he is going to have a couple of very profitable picks for you coming up here. But, Brady, I announced to the audience earlier that the deal is if you come on this show and bet Xander Schauffele one more time, there's going to be an intervention. Friends do not let friends take Xander Schauffele anymore on this show, my friend. And I don't think he's in this one, though. Is he at the Houston Open?
I tried to bet on him, but they said he's not in the field, Mr. Cannon. I, you know, But hey, you know, I backed him one time at the Players' Championship. The sucker finished second. That's probably the first time I've bet him in maybe 5 years. I have not bet Xander a whole lot. I am very apologetic
for that reason.
That rule. God, you know,
for that
that's
reason.
That's the one tournament. You know, I did really well on the West Coast swing, had a lot of top 20 finishes, hit a lot of head-to-head matchups. I got to Florida and I went south. The Players' Championship, when Xander finished runner-up for me, was actually a pretty decent week. Other than that, I have not been great, especially at Bay Hill and then last week at the Valspar. I'm sitting pretty good after 36 holes. I got Justin Thomas, one shot out of the lead. He's the in-game favorite. He shoots 79 on Saturday. Thanks, JP. We're going to the midsection. You know, I was getting it done out west, and then I went south out east. I'm hoping the midsection of the country here, Texas, kind of gets us back on track before we head down Magnolia Lane and visit Augusta National. Hopefully I'm peaking at the right time as we hit the first major of the season.
Yeah, well, this is another tournament here that you've got a bunch of middle of the roads. You got some decent numbers with some guys that can win this tournament, course experience, right? So the 2024, you know, my only question is, and you can tell us about the course and what we're looking at here, will the winner hit a white golf ball? Just the only question I have for you on the show here today.
There will be a golfer in the field that wears a bucket hat and hits a yellow ball. Peter Malnati is back in the field this week, a 300 or 400 to 1 winner last week. Good for him. Obviously, the guy was in tears. I mean, nobody expected him to win, including himself. He hadn't won in 8.5 years, but good for him. He collects $1.5 million and has a job on tour for another couple of seasons. But, you know, it's been weird, Joe. That's 6 or 7 times, depending on where you shop, that we've had a triple-digit winner this season. Yep. And the only – I mean, it seems like the only times we haven't, it's Scottie Scheffler at 4 or 5 or 6 to 1. And this week he's about plus 250. You know, I'm not going to go bet Scheffler at plus 250. But honestly, and I didn't do this, but I do think it's a good bet. Maybe he's minus 500. I don't know what he is. But a top 10 finish for Scheffler this week seems like an automatic. You know, I mean, like you said, you got Zalatoris, you got Wyndham Clark, Tony Finau, the defending champion. You've got a handful of stars in this field. But, I mean, if Scheffler doesn't finish top 10, something's wrong. Yeah, as far as the course, Joe, it's a big boy golf course. It does not play easy at all. Think about this. It's a par 70, and it's over 7,400 yards. I mean, it's a big track, big greens, not a lot of rough here. It's going to cater to, or what it has catered to in the past, is big hitters that can also show some skills around the greens. So, you know, good short game and long distance off the tee, that's who we're looking at. You look at some of the correlated courses that are like that. Royal Liverpool, where they played the British Open last summer. Silverado and Napa. Winged Foot, where they played the U.S. Open in 2020. PGA National, down in your neck of the woods, Palm Beach Gardens. TPC Craig Ranch, where they play the Byron Nelson now. And then Detroit Golf Club, where they play the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Those all have similar setups here. Some runoff areas around the greens. That's what you're going to find. I landed on Jason Day at 28-1. This guy has won in the state of Texas multiple times. And in fact, won last year at TPC Craig Ranch in that Byron Nelson Championship. Finished off the West Coast swing with a nice couple of finishes, was respectable in Florida, very good wind player, and he's got that combination, length and distance off the tee and a deft touch around the greens. Alex Noren doesn't have all that distance off the tee, but plays difficult golf course as well, good ball striker, tremendous short game, took him at 40-1. He's got a 4th here at Memorial Park, a 12th at Craig Ranch, 3 top 10s at PGA National, a 17th at Winged Foot in 2020, a 23rd at last year's Open Championship at Royal Liverpool, and a 9th and a 4th in Detroit. He's number one in this field the last 36 rounds for bogey avoidance. I mentioned the great short game. I think Noren's got a shot here this week. And then I went with a guy that showed up for a while last week and then fell apart on Sunday at 43-1. I took Keith Mitchell. You know, he was the 54-hole leader at the Valspar and then just fell apart on Sunday. Couldn't hit a fairway, shot 77. But I'm going to go with what he did 75% of the time last week, and that was play really, really well. He's one of the best guys in this field off the tee. He's got that length. He's got the approach game going. The short game has been firing as of late. I think at 43-1, that's a good price on one of the better players in this field. And then even a little deeper to a Florida Gator, Billy Horschel, at 70-1. His best performances this year have been on Bermuda grass tracks, and that's what we've got here in Houston. 18th at the Sony in Hawaii, 9th at PGA National down your way, Joe, for the Cognizant Classic, and then 12th last week at the Valspar. And Billy also has a couple of wins and a runner-up finish in the state of Texas. K.H. Lee at 100-1, two out of his last three starts have been top 10 finishes. And I mentioned TPC Craig Ranch for the Byron Nelson, a correlated course. This guy, all he's done is won back-to-back there. In 2021 and 2022, K.H. Lee won the Byron Nelson in back-to-back years, and he played really well at the Valspar last week in a fifth-place finish. And then you got to have a triple-digit guy on the card, right? So K.H. Lee at 100, Joseph Bramlett at 125-1, 17th last week at the Valspar in his best result so far this year. And this course, I think, suits him well. He's finished 9th here at Memorial Park. He was 12th in Napa. He was 7th at TPC Craig Ranch. So you have the nice week, the current form coming into a place that ought to suit him. Timing could be right for another triple-digit guy here in Joseph Bramlett. And then finally, Carl Yuan at 150-1. He was 5th last week at the Valspar, and he was also 4th to begin the season at the Sony. Again, two Bermuda grass golf courses like we have this week, and he's got that combination of the long game and the short game. 5th on the PGA Tour in driving distance and 18th in strokes gained around the green. So there's a 7-pack for you, you know, as short as 28 and as high as 150-1.
And more importantly, no Xander Schauffele. So we got a golf course here where the ability to gain multiple strokes on the tee is off the tee, right? So we're going to learn real quickly who the better drivers are on this, because that's really where you can make some hay here. And even knowing that, you talked about a couple of Texas guys, very familiar. Isn't Willie Z from Texas?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's where he lives now. He's actually born and raised in San Francisco, but he's been a Texas native, or I shouldn't say native. He's been a Texas resident for a long time. You know he is getting the lion's share of the tickets at DraftKings, and those are typically guys I like to stay away from.
Amen. As long as it ain't Xander Schauffele. Brady Cannon, we love you, brother. Enjoy. Best of luck. We'll come back here at Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here, Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network, as we are getting ready. Major League Baseball on its way back. Starts tomorrow, and you got to love it. 162-game grind is almost upon us. We got some NBA action, though, getting ready to tip off here. Not to mention, we're getting ready for the Sweet 16. It's a beautiful time of year, and our good friend, where is he? Mark Zinno in the house, ready to roll here. Zim, we were just talking to Brady. I was just mentioning, though, you're a Georgia Atlanta guy here. Augusta's in the middle of nowhere, right? I mean, you got to take a boat, 3 planes, a hayride. Like, it is literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, the most boring ride out on I-20 heading east towards the there's like literally nothing but trees the whole way. Like, it's funny because there's a military post there in Augusta called Fort Gordon. They changed all the names, but Fort Eisenhower, I think it is now. But anyway, I used to have to go there often, and that was this drive I always fell asleep on. I'm like, oh, God, this is just right. Ride is just me. So, but it's it. Listen, it is a when you get out there and you find it, it is that it's that one spot where there's the lights from heaven shine straight down on Augusta National.
It's amazing.
This is on earth, but yeah, it's a it is a long, boring drive out to Bumbletown.
I've talked to some guys like, you want to go to Augusta? I'm like, no, it takes forever to get there and get out. Like, I'm much more comfortable on my couch. It's much easier to do here. We do have baseball coming up here, Zinn, and I had made the comment earlier to folks that, to me, it's the ultimate grind. It's the ultimate sport to truly grind out for 162 games. It's not a sport, if you're looking long-term profitability, doing it seriously. You can't do it once every 2 weeks. It's, you know, you can do anything for fun, but 162 game grind, it is, my man.
Yeah, lessons learned from last year, just as some notes. First of all, if you bet baseball like you would bet football or basketball, where you're looking at your standard minus 110, even minus 115, mm-hmm. money lines that are in the minus 135, minus 140 range, you're just going to die in baseball. Like, there's no profitability there. And this is a sport, especially if you're going to do it daily, you have to be able to stockpile small wins. This isn't where you go whale fishing, right? Mm. Looking for this big play where you're going to put a large sum down. Like, it's just, it's not advisable. You take your small wins, keep a little money in your bankroll, and just hope to keep staying above, you know, above water with it. It's not a sport because the juice in everything is so different. The run line juice, you're looking at minus 170s, minus 180s, you know, and if you get two of those in a row wrong, you're digging out of a big hole for a long time, even if you're trying to just find, you know, minus 110 standard big bets. So, you know, that's why a lot of guys dip into the prop market. Some of the juice is a little bit more manageable in certain cases, but, you know, and you have to try to find situational spots where money line plays work out for you, right? Like, that's kind of what it boils down to. You have to shop around, and you really have to be very smart about how you wager and what you wager as much as deciding what team itself to bet on.
Yep. Yeah. You can't be running out and laying minus 200 on the Yankees, lose it. You got to win five more extra games just to make that money back based upon. So, yeah, big favorites is not the way to go in Major League Baseball. Now, having said that, let's go whale shopping. We've got some future bets here, Zinno, that we can take a look at, I am sure. How did you approach it long term? You go win total, you go pennants, you go. How do you approach the future market in baseball?
Well, again, let me remind everybody when it comes to betting futures markets about the New York Yankees, who are now, you know, +9 to 1 or +900 to win the World Series. That's still, if you bet $100 on the Yankees at 9 to 1 to win the World Series, you're going to lose $100. So I just want to remind everybody about that as we go forward. That said, I'm more of a win total guy than a futures guy for the World Series. It's a long season. So much can happen. One injury can absolutely just dash things for a futures bet. When it comes to winning the World Series, and that injury could happen in late August, early September, and everything just changes for you. So it's a really, really tough bet to make pre All-Star break. We've seen teams who are out of it roll back in September and make the playoffs. Teams that had a 10-game lead, New York Mets, end up not making the postseason. Mm-hmm. You know, it's stuff like that. It's the volatility in that is different for me. I put a future on the Cincinnati Reds to go over there, win total of 81.5. I put a future on the Baltimore Orioles to go over there, win total of 90.5. And, you know, I'm continuing to shop around here. And the good thing about baseball is a lot of these future markets, they're not going to change over the course of the first month all that much. So if you want to wait and see, if you want to see how things unfold, which team looks like the first 2 week, 3 weeks of the season is going to start playing well and be a surprise team, maybe you can jump in on it then at a little bit of a lesser price. But as you said, this is a long, long season and a long grind. And a lot is more set up to go wrong than right when betting Major League Baseball.
Yeah, no, it certainly does. I mean, the Miami Marlins were first on my list. They went, 33-14 last year in one-run games. They lost all of their top starting pitchers. They're not going 33-14 in one-run games. They made the playoffs last year, but I ain't seen them getting an 80 wins, 78.5. Was that win total, and I just don't see it happening at all here. But what about the Yankees? Because I know you and I are both realistic when it comes to the Yankees. A lot of people, including yourself, have jumped all over the Orioles bandwagon. I can't believe we're forgetting about Tampa in the American League East. I think Boston is on the down. I just don't see that team countering anytime soon. They're not spending money anymore. But could the Yankees muster enough offense early to weather this storm and still have a pretty good record as we, you know, we head into June and July?
I mean, look, it is a proven thing that you can mash your way through 162 games. I say it every year. You can mash your way through 162 and make the playoffs. You can score 6.5 runs a game and make the postseason. That's a totally different proposition than winning the World Series. That said, the Yankees' other strength was their bullpen. If they can get some semblance of their bullpen back and you hit, guess what? Your bullpen and your lineup is all you really need because you're always playing with a lead late, right? So if your bullpen's good and you score a lot of runs, that's a good formula to win a lot of games. So as realistic as I am about the Yankees, I still think their lineup is going to produce. It's just a question of if they stay healthy. You know, between Soto, Stanton, and Judge, if they all play 120 games, yeah, guess what? This team's going to score a ton of runs. They're still a good hitting ball club. There's no denying that. Just a question of, do you trust them to stay healthy? Aaron Judge played 160 games once in his career. He hit 62 home runs, whatever it was. I mean, that's, you know, that's what's capable if he's healthy the whole time. If the guy steps on another fence in the outfield or sneezes the wrong way, guess what? He'll be on the IL for the next 6 weeks. So that's kind of just the reality of betting the Yankees. But there's one AL East team you did forget, and that's the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, this is a team we know they can hit. Springer, Bichette, they've got bats up and down the lineup. This is a starting staff that you should have reason to trust. Bassett's there. You still have Kevin Gausman, obviously, how good he's been. Even Yusei Kikuchi has been a plus starter if he's able to stay healthy. Like, you know, and Alek Manoah, if there's some chance that he can find some form that's not a Twinkie from 2 years ago, that he's able to pitch at a high level again, or at least a moderate level, that's as a fifth starter might be something that, you know, you can look at. So this is a team, I think, that gets undervalued and overlooked because the Orioles now have ascended to the top, because the Rays are a perennial contender, and the Yankees are always there as a big favorite across the board for everybody else to bet on. But Toronto and their win total is one that I'm considering. I haven't gotten there yet, but last year what happened is they got off to a bad start, and it really kind of hurt them, and it put them right on the cusp of that 87.5 win total. So I'll be curious to see how they start out. But, you know, it's one of those things in reality. The line won't move that much. If they start out 10-3, the overall win total might go up one or two, but that may be the time to jump in the first, you know, 2 weeks, first 14, 15 games to figure out what they are. If they're, you know, 7-5, it's like, you know, when are they going to get hot? You know, you don't want to push the button too early. But so I'm waiting and seeing on Toronto, but I think they got a lot of potential.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only way I would look with Toronto is via win totals. I mean, the last 3 years, 89, 92, 91, they're 0-6 in wild card games, and they haven't won a damn postseason game since 2016. So they seem to get there, and then by the end of the season, it all seems to fall apart. They got swept last year in the postseason. But at this point a year ago, you and I were sitting here. Nobody was talking about Texas. Nobody was talking about Arizona. That nobody even considered them, right? So that's the beauty of baseball. Who are this year's Texas and Arizona? Is there one in the National or American League?
I mean, when you talk about getting to the World Series again, that's a different proposition, you know, when it comes to it. I mean, look, do I think the Cubs have a shot to win the NL Central? Yeah. Do I think they're going to make the World Series? Who knows? Do I think that the Kansas City Royals have a chance to go over their win total and be one of the better teams in the AL Central? Yeah, I do. I mean, they're going to have a good lineup, and they've got a really young staff, as do the Tigers, right? Tigers may have one of the best pitchers in baseball in Tarik Skubal when it's all said and done. So, and really, the funny part is I'm really interested to see how the Angels sort of come through this. You ever notice this happens a lot in sports? You trade away the one big player. It's like addition by subtraction. Like, everybody stops looking to that person to do everything, and everybody just starts playing a little bit better. Some of the parts kind of philosophy, and maybe they're a better team than what we give them credit for. I don't know. It'll be tough to figure out, but if Texas falls off, somebody in that division has to step up, and obviously Houston is there. Do you trust Seattle? Seattle's just a year they finally put it all together. It'd be tough to figure out.
Seattle's got some pieces, but what scares me in Seattle is they continue to be vocal about not spending money. So I don't know how that's going to work unless they have so much talent that we don't know. And they do have some talent, but Boy, oh boy, it's going to be interesting to see the way it plays out. Mark Zeno, baseball is back, brother, man. We appreciate it as always, man. Cash those tickets. Game Time Decisions continues next year on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. We've got fireworks already in the NBA. We'll get you caught up with what's going on there as we welcome in our good friend Scotty Wetzel in the house, taking over at the top of the hour in Game Live prime time. And Scotty, we're just sitting in marvel here. It just started coming across that Orlando and Golden State, well, Draymond, it took him about 4 minutes into the game to get ejected. And that was a good thing because the Golden State Warriors, after he got tossed, went on a 15-1 run, and they finished off the first quarter 27-11 over the Orlando Magic. Now, we all ran to the apps going, what can we get Orlando live in right now? I thought this line was ridiculous to begin with, given the situation with Orlando having not played since Sunday, right? 3 days rest. This is now the third road game in 4 nights for Golden State. It wasn't a great spot. They were thin, and now they're even thinner here with Draymond out. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, I tell you, Joe, 2 years ago, 16-17 point deficit, no matter who was favored, Orlando would have been getting 10.5, right? Not anymore. You know, lousy 6.5, yep. Maybe 7.5,
so true.
Depending on where you're doing your shopping. So, I you know what? Golden State, I will say this about the Warriors. Now, you're right, 3 games in 4 nights, that's tough, but on back-to-back nights, they're actually 9-5 against the spread in that second game. They've actually done well, believe it or not. So I got Houston to make the play-in at 17-1, so we really need Orlando to come through tonight. So I'm rooting for Orlando. I'm not going to double down on them, but what a Magic. I've been playing horrible. They're one of the best teams, if not the best team at home against the spread, and 11 points in the first quarter. 11. But again, you're not really getting a great bargain, plus 6.5, 7.5.
Yeah, no, we all jumped in on the money line at that point. It was funny. They went, it wasn't so much anything Golden State was doing. Orlando went 0-14 in shooting during that stretch when Draymond left. So Golden State just merely took care of business. But again, you know, they hadn't played in 3 days. So they certainly have enough firepower here, the Magic, and defense to get themselves back into this one here. So 29-17 now with 11 minutes to go in the second. And Scotty, you are spot on. I mean, last night, did you see the Lakers down 20? I thought Doc Rivers was brought in to change that part of the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't think he changed very much here. Do you, Scotty?
No, just horrible, right? You know, again, you know, we're holding on to 17-1 tickets with Houston to make the play-in.
Yep.
And we got three teams for two slots, right? The Lakers, the Warriors, and the Rockets. And we got a shot, obviously, with Golden State struggling. And if the Lakers would have lost last night like they should have with the Lakers playing Golden State, you know, we definitely got a shot with that ticket. And I'm 19 down, Joe. I turned the game off. You know, I'm on the way home because we did the show last night. And I hop on the train. I look at the scores, and I see the Lakers win. I'm like, are you kidding me? That can't be.
Unreal.
Right? I mean, listen, this guy might be the nicest guy in the world, Doc Rivers. Might be, right? But I'm telling you, I wouldn't have him coach my CYO team. He is just the Giannis has not been the same since he's gotten there. His numbers are way down. And for them to lose to a LeBron-less Laker team, it's just up 19 in the fourth quarter at home. That's just horrible. That's just horrible.
Now, are you getting it back here tonight? Because the Lakers, second of a back-to-back, they're taking on Memphis here. And I'm going to guess LeBron is going here at this point. But I don't know. They emptied the tanks there to get back and win that game last night. How much confidence do you have tonight to get back in it?
Yeah, you know, I kind of like the Lakers tonight, but I
no AD, by the way. No Anthony Davis.
No Anthony Davis.
They just rolled him out. Yes.
I mean, they're fighting for their playoff.
That's a problem.
And he can't play 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You know, I mean, what happened?
Hey, you got to take it on Houston. Make up your mind. Make up your mind.
I mean,
you need Houston.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to put American money right on Memphis. So you can't do that. But I will say, you know, Lakers 0-7 last seven games as a road favorite. 3-8 against the spread. Against teams that are atrocious, winning records of 400% or less, like Memphis has. 0-4 last four road games against a team with a losing home record, like Memphis has. I mean, it all does point to Memphis, but who could possibly put American money on Memphis, right? I mean, if the Lakers, I was going to say, you know, if they take this seriously, they're going to win by double digits, but no AD. So I guess they figured, we'll try and win with LeBron. I wonder if they would have lost last night, Joe. Would AD be playing today? I got a feeling he would have.
Good point.
I got a feeling heading into this set, they said, let's go 1-1. We'll sit LeBron because we could play LeBron and still lose in Milwaukee. Let's hold LeBron out, and then he'll play against Memphis, and then we'll let AD play both games, and let's get out of here 1-1. And now that they won in Milwaukee, they're saying, let's play the rest game.
Now, I'm going to assume, since you are you got a ticket on Houston, that you think no SGP here tonight, I believe, then, for OKC. He's been rolled out.
Right.
So, Houston on the road, catching, what, 4, it looks like, now? 4.5? Are you is that the direction you're leaning?
Yeah. You know what? I'm actually disappointed he's not playing, Joe. I really am, because we've seen how many times teams' best players – not play, last night with the Lakers, if you want to say LeBron's their best player, be able to win. No matter who they're facing, good team, bad team, it's the league-wide conspiracy that I wholeheartedly believe in. Your best player's not going to play, then you're going to win. This way your local fans can't bitch and complain, because how are you going to complain with a win?
Yep.
So I'd rather have him playing. But that said, yeah, I got to go with Houston. 9 straight wins, 11-1 their last 12. They've covered 13 in a row. That line was 6.5 last night, 7. Now it dropped, and then the word with the Gilchrist Alexander not playing, and now it's down to 4.5, 5, depending on where you do your shopping there. But I still like Houston. They're winning on the road, something they weren't able to do, you know, at the beginning of the year. Playing great basketball, benefit of an easy schedule the last couple of weeks, I'll grant you that. But I'll take them on the money line, even, you know, a couple shekels on the 4.5. But if we're going to roll the dice, let's roll the dice and grab them on the money line.
So I just saw a whole lot of steam hit the market for Minnesota here. Now jacked this up to 17, and it looks like Jalen Duren is going, but Jaden Ivey is out. Fontecchio is out. Isaiah Stewart out. Quinn Grimes out. Austin Thompson out. So the usual, but Cade Cunningham does appear to be in. So the total, though, 214.5 in an open, 216.5 now. How are you leaning towards this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go under. I can't lay the 16-17, right? I just can't. Although I will say, I meant to do this, Joe, but we've seen a lot of these double-digit favors cover. We really have. Outside of the Celtics blowing that 30-point lead against Atlanta, whether it's the Knicks on the road in Detroit, whether it was Cleveland the other day, they really are starting to take care of business. And these teams that are bad, there's no reason to play. Outside of San Antonio beating Phoenix the other day, they're really, you know, these double-digit favorites, and they weren't even a double-digit favorite, but they're getting crushed at this point. They're done. Season's over. So, but I can't lay 17. I will take the under. Detroit 16-5 under their last 21 games, including 8-2 on the road. You throw in all those players that aren't playing. You know, Minnesota could put 120 on the board, and this game still not get to 217 points. So I'm thinking under here.
Wow. I mean, it's you're right. This time of year is interesting, to say the least, here with no lead safe and absolutely, well, 29-23 right now, Golden State. So they cut that lead. Now it's now a 6-point game. It's a 2-bucket game. And you got it at plus 6.
Yeah. That was 27-10. 27-10 and 27-11 after the first quarter. And now you got yourself a 2-possession game, just like that.
And now it's a 2-possession game with 9 minutes to go and before the half. It's a brand new game.
See, that's how the boys in Vegas, they've wisened up. You know, they've gotten, like I said, 2 years ago, that line would have been 10.5, 11, 12, and now they realize everybody's, you know, no one's betting the favorite in those blowout games, right? They're all looking for the underdog to get the value and get the team that we think is going to come back. And it's just, there's no sense putting it at 8.5, 9.5, 10 when everyone's going to bet it at 7.5. So they have gotten wise to that, definitely.
Yep. And we still got them at plus 260, though. So that's what that is all about there, Scotty. Late nights. How in the world can we trust Phoenix to go on the road at Denver? It's not a crazy number. I'm, what, 7, 7.5, I think, there? But it appears that it's all hands on deck is what Bradley Beal is saying now. So it looks like Bradley Beal's a go. It looks like Nurkic is a go. Jamal Murray and Gordon still questionable, but Porter and Jokic are going. How do we trust Phoenix at all? If getting 7 even, how do we trust them?
Yeah, you can't. I tell you, I have thrown more money away in the Phoenix Suns, right? Over the you know, you find out Beal's playing, you think, okay, and what do? They lay an egg. The only thing I think this is going to do is motivate the Denver Nuggets. Oh, you're going to come back with your big three?
Yep.
You guys are all playing? All right, we'll come with our big three. We'll come motivated, and I'll take a motivated Denver team at home than I will Phoenix Suns team. I mean, them losing the other day, you think they would bottom out and respond after losing to San Antonio. And I know Kevin Durant said, oh, this is inexcusable, this, that, and what have you. You know what? Their whole season's been inexcusable. It really has. So I don't expect any kind of bounce back. I can't do it. I like I said, they're one of the worst against the spread teams in the NBA. Give me Denver minus the 7. I will gladly take my chances that they win and cover the spread. So, and then the other one.
Major League Baseball. Go ahead,
Joe. One more NBA, Joe. We got James Harden, first game back in Philadelphia. Ooh. Now, they played last week. Philadelphia went into L.A., beat the Clippers. Harden had, I think, 14 assists and like 10 points, 12 points. Not great numbers as far as the points are concerned. I don't know what kind of response he's going to get from the Philly fans. I don't know if that's going to motivate him or not. But you know what? I'm going to go over 15.5 points and over 8.5 assists. First game back in Philly, they're going to be booing him. If he's got any character whatsoever, he's going to have a monster game tonight. Good hunch plays.
Ooh. All right, back in Harden to come out firing here tonight against his old team. And I'm sure it's not going to be a great welcome home James Harden parade there at all. Don't think that's going to happen. But he'll shut them up rather quickly with a good night. That is for sure here.
Yeah.
MLB back tomorrow. Scotty, what are we looking at for a situation here? Any future bets you're looking at?
Listen, we could spend an hour doing win totals, right? Everyone does that. That's fine. And we can do, you know, who's going to win the World Series. And that's all fine. You know, we like to go the extra mile here. So FanDuel, anyway, has all these goofy prop bets, Joe, and one of them is the number of cycles to be hit in 2024. 4.5. Ooh, and I know people out there say, how many cycles, Scott? Are you crazy? I'll bet on Topeka High. But listen, last year we had 5. Year before, 5. Year before, 4. Year before, 6. Year before, 5. Year before, 7. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of the last 6 years, we've had 5 or more, and they're giving us 4.5 plus 122. Over 4.5 cycles, the baseball prop of the year.
I love, that's what I am talking about. Digging deep here to get you a cycles future prop here. You ain't getting that anywhere except here on the Sports Grid Network. Scotty, have a great show here tonight. In-game live primetime coming up at the top. We'll close it out next year on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. In game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we wrap up this edition. Plenty more still coming your way. Scotty Wetzel. An in-game live primetime straight ahead here as we've got a whole bunch of NBA games getting ready to tip off. A couple of games underway, including the Brooklyn Nets on top of the Wizards, 46-41 right now. And how about the Cavs and the Hornets? With still about 3 minutes to go before the break, it's a 65 61. Cavs lead there. We've been talking about the Warriors and the Magic. Draymond Green gets tossed out 3 minutes into the game, and the Warriors seem to be going on a run here. It's now a 41-27 Warriors lead here with about 3.5 minutes to go before the break. And the 76ers are welcoming back James Harden with a thumping right now. 23-13 here with about 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. Some college basketball action also here tonight. Congrats to the CBI champions, Seattle. They ended up beating High Point earlier today. Seton Hall taking it to UNLV right now in the NIT quarterfinals in South Orange, New Jersey, 44-26 at the break. Still to come, VCU in Utah in the other side of the bracket there. That one coming up top of next hour, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And we've got Purdue-Fort Wayne, 41, Norfolk State, 33 right now at the break. So we got a lot going on, getting ready for Major League Baseball. Starting tomorrow, the season will be off and running. Check the weather, though. A lot of rainouts already being posted here as we speak. So Sweet 16 action coming up tomorrow. Also, we'll have wall-to-wall coverage for you, as we usually do here on Sports Grid. But in the meantime, NBA tonight, NHL, get yourself ready to go as In-Game Live. Prime Time is coming your way with Scotty Wetzel and company. We'll see you again on another edition of Game Time Decisions. Cash those tickets. We'll talk to you again soon.